at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Beginning with verse 22. There we go. The Apostle Luke wrote the book of Acts. He followed up from writing Luke, and he carries on in the book of Acts. And that book of Acts is about the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts tells us how a church should function. So Paul here, he's saying farewell to Ephesus, and you can tell by the mannerism of his speech as he tells the people that as he is leaving them and so forth, encouragement to them about his life and what they are to do. So let's look in at verse 22. And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account or no use, as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. The key verse here, I believe, as I was reading through this text before this morning, and I'd like to share that again, where Paul says, or what Luke says about Paul, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord. And Paul would say, I got it directly from the Lord to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street, was famous for saying, it's fun being saved. It's fun being saved. And what Paul was saying, none of these things move me. Persecution. He's saying death and danger. This is because you can't scare a dead man. He was dead to sin. He was dead to the flesh. He was dead to the world. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. And you and I, we need to be dying daily to the flesh, sins, the world. As Paul says, dead to sin, dead to the flesh, to this world, but alive unto the God. In Psalms 16:8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15:58, it says, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You hear that? Always in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, there's a song out Lord, I shall not be moved, right? How many of you know that song? I shall not be moved. It goes like, glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. So the Apostle Paul's life was bound by the Spirit in four areas, I believe, this morning. I want to do that, share these with you. And first of all, he had a sense of destiny. And as we think about the situations in the world today and the life of the church, this is missing in most people's lives today. They don't know who they are, why they are here, and where they are going. I mean, you probably could do a survey on the streets and ask people that, and they may not have any idea. It's kind of like the story of Alice in Wonderland. She came to the fork in the road and didn't know which way to go. And someone asked her which way she was headed. She said she didn't know. And the response back to her was, then it doesn't matter which way you go then, if you don't know. But in reality, it does matter which way we go. Paul would say it matters. And he says, my life is Christ. And that's what matters. So, and many roam aimlessly with no grand purpose or destiny. And see, we need to have some goals. We need to have a plan. Envision the future. You know, we think, well, the future looks pretty dim right now, doesn't it? With situations and so forth. The world looks that way. But Christians, we don't look that way. It's bright. It's bright. Because Christ is in it. And he'll light up our sky, won't he? He'll light up our world if we allow him to be what he wants to be in our lives. We need something bigger than our own selves to live for. Something real big. And if we don't know, then life would be pretty dull and meaningless. It's like J.L. Kraft for years gave 25% of his great profits to the Lord. Everybody knows Kraft, don't you? Kraft products and so forth. And he said his purpose was not to build his business as much as to build the kingdom of God. It's like J.C. Penney and a lot of people that's been in business over the years who are really committed to God and to the cause of the kingdom of God gave much of their profits and so forth back to the Lord and often wouldn't open on Sunday. Kind of like Chicken Filet or Hobby Lobby. Some of those Christian organizations don't open on Sunday because they have committed to themselves to be open through the week and give God his glory on Sunday. See, he was all about the cause of Christ, Paul was, and not, well, and Kraft. He wasn't all about cheese, was he? Wisconsin, I guess that's a cheese state, isn't it? Cheeseheads. And if you've watched ball games, they wear the cheese on their head. They don't care to be cheeseheads, do they? That they're winning, and so forth. And you see, Kraft knew that the gospel in the heart had better and more lasting effects in his life. See, he recognized that his day job was just a vehicle God could use to get him where he needed to be, to advance the kingdom of God. That was his heart. And you see, that was in the heart of Paul. See, we might ask ourselves, are we in the survival mode? How many of you watch survival on TV? I guess that comes on Wednesday nights. They're out there trying to survive in the wilderness or on the little islands and so forth, doing all they can do. So, are we in survivor mode, or are we doing something for for God. See, God wants us to live, not just exist. And Paul lived in a higher purpose. As we read the scripture, we can tell that where his heart is. So he could say of his world and his problems, none of these things move me like the Lord. A second thing, Paul had a sense of dedication in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Boy, this, you ought to go home and memorize this afternoon. This just speaks it all for the Christian. Look at it with me, please. Therefore, I urge you. And I can just see Paul down on his hands and knees looking up and saying, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, who shows mercy, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. And when I think about this holy and acceptable to God, I go back looking at Cain and Abel. Abel had a sacrifice. He brought the lamb, and he was blessed. Cain, he brought vegetables and fruits. That wasn't the right thing to do. God was looking for a blood sacrifice because he shed his blood for us. Holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is our spiritual or your spiritual service of worship. So, service of worship, as we worship, as we serve, that's our reasonable thing that we can do for the Lord. One day a woman was attending a Bible conference, and she approached the speaker with tears in her eyes and repeated her story of what was going on in her life, and she had no victory in her Christian life. She had tried many churches. She had gone from church to church to church, trying to find satisfaction, something in her life, and said just wasn't receiving anything from God much. And the speaker looked at her. You just answered your own question because, and he quoted Romans 12:1. He said, the goal is not getting more from God, but giving him more of yourself. Isn't that right? We always wanting more, but it's giving of ourselves. It's kind of like JFK said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And that's what this scripture is saying here. Paul is saying, you know, ask what you can give to the Lord, not what he can give to you more. So if it's not do what I have all of God, do I have all of God? Do I have all of God? But does God have all of me? You see, we got all the Holy Spirit we're going to get when we're saved. You know, the Holy Spirit takes residence up in our heart. So it's not that we get more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit gets more of us. And then when we realize, then this verse here makes sense. Acceptable God, which is our spiritual service of worship. In Colossians chapter 2, it says that Christian already has the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We already have that. We just have to learn how to apply it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see what that says? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So he has given us all of that. All we have to do is learn how to apply that. Be willing to apply that in our lives. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, seeing that his divine power, you got that? His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. He called you and me. From the very beginning of foundation, He knew what our hearts was going to represent or resemble. So first of all, He calls us. He's chosen us. He called us unto salvation. We have to answer that. We have a choice. And then He calls us in various other areas of ministry, and He has gifted us to serve in those. See, He's not going to place you or put you somewhere that you're not suited or gifted to do. But we must be willing to take on the task. See, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. So, the question here this morning is, does God have all of me? Does God have all of you? Lay down as a dedicated sacrifice. It's not a dead sacrifice. It's a living example of what Christ wants to do in our life. In the Old Testament, the priest had to place the sacrifice on the altar, and it was killed. But we today in the New Testament days are to be living sacrifices, according to Romans 12:1. And Paul said, that's just a reasonable thing for us to do. Paul would often say, okay, let's gather together, let's sit down and let's reason together. And Paul is saying here, that's just reasonable for us to do this. For all that Christ has done for us, for going to the cross and dying for our sins, and now it's only reasonable for us to be His living servants. That's the Greek word, lakos. So the least that we can do, Christ died for us, can't we live for Him? Okay, next, Paul had a sense of declaration. Verse 25 says, preaching. I won't reread that verse, but he said, oh, my aim and my goal and my focus is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, this is different than witnessing. See, that's our responsibility as well. But Paul says, I've been called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, that is like witnessing. And this means heralding. You know, we sing. We're heralding the song. We're heralding the message of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So in the Bible days, they didn't have computers and fax machines, text messaging, instant messaging. They didn't even have primitive communication, a telephone, a telegraph, or tell a woman. Wait a minute. Just move that one. That's bad. That's how you communicate and send messages, okay? All of those good things, okay? I'll just see if you're listening this morning, okay? All right. So if a king wanted to deliver an important message to another king, he would commission or herald what he wanted to say. He would be like an ambassador, a messenger for the king. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:20 it says, now then we are ambassadors of Christ. Do you know that? We're His spokesmen, ambassadors. That's the KJV or New American Standard version of who we are as messengers of Christ. So now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did precede you by us. What a privilege that is for us. You think about it. A real privilege that God has given us, His Word, His Bible, His testimony through our lives, how He has changed our lives. As I quoted a while ago from Romans chapter 6, verse 4, where it says that we are buried in the likeness of Christ, raised in the likeness of His resurrection, so that we can walk in a new lifestyle. Our life has completely changed, so now we can live and walk and experience the things like Christ. So what a privilege it is to be servants, living servants of Christ. And then a fourth thing, a sense of duty. Verses 26 and 27, another Old Testament picture of what Paul is saying here in Acts chapter 20. A watchman on a wall could look out for approaching enemies and would sound the alarm. If he didn't, and the people died in attack, he was said to have their blood on his hands. And he would have no answer for it. So we are watchmen as well. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked ways that he may live, that wicked man shall die in iniquity, which his blood will be required at his hand. Yet if you have warned the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Jerry Vines tells of a situation, true story, as he was standing in line at a flower stand. And there was a young lady in front of him waiting to get flowers just like himself. And the Lord pressed upon his heart to speak a word on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see where she was in her relationship with the Lord. Either she had a relationship with the Lord or did not. And he passed up that opportunity. The very next day, he came through that line again, and there she was. But yet, she was on the other side waiting on him. And she said, I want to hand you some material. And he looked at it, and he realized it wasn't the material that he would have shared with her. It was material, occult material, the unification movement, the Moonies, known as Sun-Mignon, Moon. You see, the Lord the day before laid upon his heart to witness to this young lady. And someone else beat him to it. And then she ended up following the wrong people. And he cried out, oh God, I could have won her to the sun, but they won her to the moon. If she dies and goes to hell, her blood will be on my hands. Just as the scripture states it. You know, we could all close our eyes and we could just imagine being transported into heaven. Just imagine that this morning. If we close our eyes and we're imagining ourselves being transported into heaven, how many could approach you and say, I'm here because of you? That song, Thank You, resembles that statement. See, or in hell, how many could say, I'm here because you didn't share Jesus Christ with me? You know, Paul couldn't say that. Many can't say that today, but a lot can. See, our prayer should be, God help us all be like Paul. Determination, destiny, dedication, and to our duty for thee. See, that is our responsibility. And I hope, as you think about the scripture today and what Paul's motivation was, and after he died to sin and the flesh and the world, and he realized that his life was to be a living sacrifice, that whatever opportunity came his way, he was going to do it. He wasn't going to say no to the Lord in service and in deed and calling. He was going to say no to the world, but yes to the Lord. About years ago, when I surrendered to the pastorate and so forth, Ralph Hoover said, Mike, I'm going to be calling on you and for supplying in churches and so forth. He said, I'll probably have a lot of openings. And that very week, on Sunday morning at 8:30, he called me. Said, I want you to go to Shells Ford Baptist Church this morning and preach. I said, no, Ralph. That's a huge church. And I said, you said you're going to give me a notice. He said, I am. 2 hours. And I said, I don't even have a sermon. I hadn't even worked nothing up. And see, I had only surrendered a week before that. He said, well, go, and if you don't do anything, give your testimony. I told Brenda, I got 30 minutes to get something together. I opened the Bible, selected a passage of Scripture, and I wrote down a few things in the margin of my Bible, just kind of like an outline like I normally do. I went to that church, and I tell you what, the Lord took over that morning, and I tell you what, His presence was there. It's because I stepped out on faith, and God calls and He equips and He gives you what you need to say, what you need to do. And He gives you and gifted you how you can serve and where you need to serve and what you need to do for His kingdom. See, Paul says, you know, I'm on board. I'm with you, Lord, no matter what. He said, if I die or whatever happens to me, that's in vain compared to what I want to do for you, Lord. Romans 12:1, memorize that. It'll speak to your hearts. It'll open up your hearts. It'll give you a new vision, give you a new direction in life. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for your words. We thank you how you're able to work in our lives. You made us in your own image. All the qualities it takes to be holy, righteous. Lord, that's what you desire in each and every one of our lives this morning. We are to be living servants because you went to the cross. You paid the price for the penalty of sin, taken out of the darkness of our lives and put in the light, the Son, your Holy Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to think about it this morning and pray inwardly that where we are, is that where you want us? If it's not, enlighten us from your word, enlighten us from your Holy Spirit to make any revisions to do whatever we need to do to be in your perfect will. Oftentimes we live in your submissive will, but you want us in your perfect will. And it just takes the yielding of the Holy Spirit, our lives, to your Holy Spirit to open the hearts of our lives. Lord, we thank you for each one here this morning. We thank you for this blessed hour that we have together for you to speak to us. And as you have spoken to us, someone here today, may we be willing to make it public, whether it's salvation, church membership, or some act of service. Well, whatever it is, Lord, give us the strength and courage to step forward and say, Lord, I'm not ashamed to take a stand for you. It's in the precious name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 431.